You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you from the Broadway Podcast Network studios. I mentioned the episode number because even for me, it's fairly amazing that we're at the quarter century mark with this show since joining the BPN family. It's been nothing but a thrill for me. And we actually just celebrated the 1 year anniversary of our Chapman on Broadway Instagram page back when we were doing the original version of this show in my apartment last spring. So never could have imagined the life this thing has taken on, and I'm excited about everything we have in store going forward. So, like I said, nothing but a thrill for me and the Break a Bat team as a whole. And speaking of that team, joining me in studio tonight is someone who's been a big part of the team, and I think some of the Batheads have gotten to know him the past few months, our producer and aspiring baseball expert, Mr. Alan Seals.
Aspiring. I tried so hard to do the shooty hoops and the throwy balls.
Now, Alan, the last time you were here, I thought we made a lot of progress with Kate Rockwell and Katzman here. We, you know, you learned who holds the record for fastest fastball in Major League history. You learned, you know, how many games Aroldis Chapman saved in one day to tie the Major League record.
Yeah, there's lots of trivia that I can take away from my life or into my life now.
I think we're onto something as far as your baseball IQ goes. And, you know, if we can't make you a full-on baseball expert, at the very least, you can be an Aroldis Chapman expert like me and Katzman.
Well, I just follow your Instagram, and I get all the Photoshopped Chapman images I ever need out of that.
So. That's all you need to know to see him in the cast of Moulin Rouge and Jagged Little Pill and so on and so forth. Okay. Well, aside from me playing the role of baseball educator to you, I will say one of the cooler parts about this whole thing with the BPN is that you and I have become pretty good friends off the air. And while I haven't gotten you over to Yankee Stadium yet, we did have a good time at the Majestic Theater last week.
We did. I enjoyed seeing Phantom of the Opera. It's been like multiple decades since I saw it last.
How much did you remember like going into it?
I didn't remember any of the scenes because I saw it when I was a tiny, tiny kid, and then listen to my mom playing the soundtrack over and over and over again, so I know the songs. But all the interstitials, you know, the scene work, I was like, it was like seeing a new show. I didn't remember any of it.
It was unbelievable. And, you know, with very big thanks to my buddy, Michael Borowski, over at the publicity office, Alan and I were granted the privilege to see Phantom last week, and it was definitely a wonderful time. And a huge reason for that is someone else is joining us in the studio tonight, as we've talked about her for the past few minutes, as if she's not in the room.
It's called acting.
Yes.
Yes.
In the midst of an exciting rookie year here on Broadway, since taking on the lead role of Christine in Phantom, our guest today is in the midst of a really exciting first year here on Broadway, and certainly no rookie in the performing world, that she's an accomplished opera singer and definitely no stranger to the Andrew Lloyd Webber franchise. She actually originated the role of Christine in the North American premiere of Love Never Dies, which is Phantom sequel for the folks at home who didn't know that. And she then went on to perform Phantom of the Opera all over the world in its touring production before coming here to Broadway. So since October, she's been killing it over at the Majestic Theater 6 times a week?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Wow. Sometimes more. Okay. But usually six.
Yeah. 6+ times a week. Yeah. And we're super excited to welcome her to the batter's box tonight. So with that being said, if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting, Megan Paterno.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What's my theme song?
What's your walk-up song? You got to pick one here.
I guess, well, should we stay on brand, I suppose? Like, da 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 da.
Oh, that would be dramatic.
I would love to hear that played in Yankee Stadium.
I would too. Can we please figure out how to make that happen?
Well, technically, Mark Teixeira kind of had a show tune. If you consider like Rock of Ages music to be show tunes, like he had I Want to Rock in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, come on. That opening overture is pretty awesome.
That'd be badass.
Yeah. So, all right. So home plate, I'm here.
How's Broadway life treating you?
It's awesome. Like, I love it. I just, It's going so fast, actually. I can't believe that it's, well, one, it's 2020, so we're in the future. So, you know, that's going. But it's awesome. I love everybody that I work with. I mean, working alongside the greats, I mean, Ben and John, who play Raul and the Phantom, you know, they inspire me every day. And the cast, too. You know, I mean, there's so much tradition and there are so many legends everywhere, just walking around the building. And you just soak it all up like a sponge. It's amazing.
Now, I had mentioned in the intro, you have the background in opera singing.
Yes.
Has the Broadway life been a big adjustment?
It's definitely a different adjustment, but it's not just Broadway, it's music theater in general. Like, they're very different animals in the sense of even, excuse me, how often you perform. Like, in the opera world, you would have 2 days off in between shows, generally speaking, but we don't use microphones. But here, you do, but it... What I'm realizing quickly is it doesn't really matter if you have one because you still sing full out no matter what. They're just playing with levels. Like, you can't just, like, be like, duh, duh, duh. So I have to say, and I love everyone in my opera singing world, but there is a glamour to Broadway and there is a nit and gritty. People work so hard. I have such a respect for every single person that is in a show, touring or Broadway, whatever it may be. I mean, it just goes. And people will be like, oh, I just broke my arm. It's okay. I'll be fine. Let's keep going. I mean, they can't really do that. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's that attitude of, like, can do, will do, whatever we need to, let's get this done. And it's amazing. And also, you know, I mean, watching people every day do ballet, do whatever it may be. I mean, like, it blows my mind. I mean, how talented everyone is, and everyone's here for one cause, and that's to do the show and tell a story and share it with everyone from literally around the world. It's amazing.
Now, what was, like, the biggest adjustment that you had to make? You know, because I guess that your theatrical career started on the road. With the Love Never Dies tour?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. So actually, it started a little bit right before that with Candide. And that's, it's a show that's kind of like is it an opera? Is it an operetta? Is it a music theater piece? It's kind of all of the above. And that's where I met Hell Prince. And that's the first time I ever did a two-show day. And I was like, I'm sorry, what do you mean? Like, what? And I was like, well, you were going to do more than one? Like, I remember just being like, this is madness. Or like, we had a dress rehearsal preview, which I didn't know what that meant, before our opening night. And I was like, I've never heard of such a thing. What is this? And like, lo and behold, you figure it out and you do it. So that was definitely one of the biggest adjustments, was just being like, you can do it and you will. So that's where actually it started. And that was cool. I felt like I was sort of in like Harry Potter, like all the different houses came together, because it was like the actors from Broadway came, because you had like Chip Zine, Greg Adelman, Linda Lavin, I mean, J. Armstrong Johnson. These were like the people I worked with constantly. Hal, Pat Birch. I mean, they became quickly my mentors. And then opera people that I knew, and then the dancers, and we were all just like in awe of each other on like what we could all do. But that's like really where my professional music theater career started, because Hal was like, well, kiddo, would you ever want to do Broadway? And I was like, I'm going to be honest, it wasn't really on my radar, but yeah, sounds great. And then in... like 2 weeks later, oh, well, he was like, have you ever seen Phantom? And I said, very embarrassingly, no, not live. I'd only seen the movie. And so 3 years ago is the first time I ever saw Phantom live. And when I say theme song, I'll never forget when I sat in his seats and the chandelier goes up and I'm just like, what is this? It's a rock concert. I was like, this is awesome. So I fell in love with it immediately. And shortly after, I met with Andrew Lloyd Webber and was cast that afternoon in Love Never Dies. And that was the beginning. Boom, baby. We're going. So there you go.
Casually meets with Andrew Lloyd Webber. Alan, do you hear this? And gets the job on the spot.
Did you have to sing?
Yeah. So it was funny, because Hal was like, you know, there's a show that's coming to America for the first time called Love Never Dies. And I really think that you should sing for Tara Rubin casting. And I did. And then the next time I I sang was for Andrew himself and then like a team of people, which is also very unlike an opera audition. Opera, it's very few people in the room. Like Candide was also very Broadway-esque. There were like 12 people in the room. I'm like, I don't even know, like, how, this is an audience. Like, great. But yeah, so in my audition for Andrew, like, of course, and this is the thing too, like coming from the opera world, I am learning on the job about Broadway because it's not something I was raised on actually. So, It was probably for the best. Ignorance is bliss. I didn't know everyone in the room. So I obviously know who Andrew is, but also coming from the opera world, I was like, a living composer. This is the coolest thing. I have so many questions. Like, so my audition ended up being more of like a coaching. And he was so cool and so funny. And he like got up from his chair immediately and like came up. And yeah, it ended up being more of like a voice lesson than anything else, like a coaching. And he was like, do you have anything from the other one, meeting Phantom? And I was like, no, I'm so sorry. I don't know that music yet. And then yeah, just sang a whole bunch. And I didn't really think anything of it except that I had a blast and I loved every single person in the room. And then yeah, literally hours later I got a call saying, hey, so would you want to do Love Never Dies? And I was like, yeah. So yeah, there you go.
Now, you had mentioned that you weren't necessarily raised on Broadway, and you're a Chicago girl, right?
I am a Chicago girl, yeah.
And so, you know, they have a pretty rich history of performing there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Both on the theatrical side and the music side in general. And, you know, given your last name, I take it like mine, you come from a very fun Italian family that very much embraced the arts. Is that accurate?
Yes, yes. I mean, we're more of a science math family. But yeah, like, I mean, there was always music playing in my house constantly, like, but mostly classical music or jazz. You know, I mean, like Frankie is obviously going when we're making pasta. Like we're literally that cliche family that like, you know, like Dean Martin's going while we're making meatballs. Like it's legitimately happening. And embrace it. It's great. So yeah. Yeah, so that's my fam. So
they did the same in North Carolina, right, Alan?
Oh, to play Frankie.
Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra. You guys used to listen to that, right?
I came from, well, you guys, my family came from a show tunes background. So like West Side Story, Music Man, Singing in the Rain, Phantom of the Opera.
Awesome.
That's what my family listened to. My dad didn't listen to anything. It was all my mom. But yeah, so we didn't, like, other people listen to country. We listen to show tunes. And then I got messed up somewhere in the middle.
Nice.
Now, did you make a lot of trips up, or did you ever make any trips up to New York as a kid?
No, actually never. My first time, well, my parents moved to New Jersey for a brief moment. And that's how I fell in love with New York. I'll never forget, like, the train coming in. I got off and I was like, Mom, put your phone and your map away. We are New Yorkers now. And like, totally got lost. But I was like determined. I was like, and I remember I got off the train and I swear I was like, oh, no, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, of course, because Chicago, and I love Chicago. But it's so funny. I remember telling one of my teachers, I was like, you know, I just don't feel like I fit here. As in like, I don't feel like I'm meant to be here. And I love Chicago. And they're like, well, you never know. And then as soon as I got off, I was off the train. I was like, oh, because I'm supposed to be here. And that's the beginning of my love affair with New York City, baby. The love hate that we all have for this beautiful, amazing city. So yeah, that was the first time ever. And, but my first time ever seeing a Broadway show was on tour. And this is actually a pretty crazy, cool story. Like I said, I wasn't really raised on show tunes. And I had the only musical I ever saw my entire life growing up was Les Mis. But, and I was very young. I came to find out a couple years ago that exact show that I saw, the one show I saw my whole life until like in my 20s, was the conductor was my conductor on Love Never Dies, and the music director was my conductor on the world tour of Phantom. So if that wasn't the universe like planting a seed without me even knowing, how insane is that though? Like, that's pretty insane.
What a way to come full circle like that. That's incredible.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Did you ever give the acting thing a go as a kid, or was it strictly singing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I was always, I was in, like, a musical, the musical in high school. And I was in Allstate. Like, that was my first operetta. Like, I was cast in it. Again, like, I didn't really know anything about it. And I was actually a classical pianist. I mean, so that was my journey. And then I, like, loved jazz. So I was in the jazz band. And then I became too cool for that, which I'm like, Megan, where were your parents telling you you needed to continue to do that? But, yeah, so I played piano. And I was in a musical every year. My first musical ever, actually, I was Marion in The Music Man as a freshman in high school.
Wow. I was Harold Till in eighth grade.
Oh, there you go. It could have been. Ships in the night, baby. Sorry. Yeah.
Now, I guess you had you stayed in Illinois for undergrad and then you moved to Manhattan for your master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the intention is always to pursue the opera thing full go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I studied abroad in Vienna too, and that like solidified that I wanted to do opera, but also it kind of came out of left field. See what I did there. My parents were, well, I guess more right field because they were like, what? And I was like, yes, I'm going to sing opera and I'm going to go where Mozart lived. I'm going to Vienna. Like, I didn't speak German or anything. But I went and I loved it. And that really also, that kind of just started my extreme love for travel too, and languages and just meeting people from different cultures and everything. So, and then, yes, I came to Manhattan and Manhattan School of Music was my first choice. That's where I wanted to go. And that's where I went. And yeah.
Why opera?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that's so funny. I think part of it, I'll never forget with my high school class, I was a junior or a senior in my French class, and we went to see Romeo and Juliet and Carmen at Chicago Lyric. And I was the only one in my class that was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I was like, first of all, they're singing on their backs. How are they doing this? Second of all, it's the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. Third of all, it's just, there's so much passion. And also it's in French. And like the rest of my class is like, and I'm like, this is the best thing ever, best day ever. And so that was like the beginning of me being like, wait a minute, what is this art form? I don't really know what it is. Even though a lot of us do know what it is, it's in like commercials and stuff, and you don't even realize you're being exposed to it. And I started taking voice lessons. And yeah, that was the start. Not really romantic, but like all of my life, kind of just like suddenly the lightning bolt strikes and you're like, must do it right now, right now. That's how it goes. And you go.
So you say you're like a very impulsive like that. You just kind of follow.
Yes, for better or for worse. Yeah. Just dive right in. So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing. What year did you come to New York?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I don't know. Well, I'm 28 forever, so...
Cheers.
You know.
29 forever.
Well, you know, I don't know. It depends on the day. Could be 20, you know. I don't know, actually. I don't know what year I came here, but it's been a minute.
Okay.
A New York minute, if you will.
I was trying to piece together whether or not you had the chance to go to the old Yankee Stadium, which had closed in 2008.
No. I can tell you, no. I have been to the new one, though.
You have been to the new one?
I have been to the new one. And see, now I am a Cubs fan. Which I personally don't think conflicts with me being a Yankees fan.
Oh, so you're, oh yeah, American League team,
because they are
National
different
League
leagues. Exactly. So like, I feel okay with that.
You know, the Cubs come to New York this summer, right?
hopefully this will be one of the first summers I'm ever here. So,
or I should say that they come to Yankee Stadium this summer. Because they play the Mets every year, obviously. But
yeah. Well,
I was curious if you had a chance to go to the old Yankee Stadium.
Oh, because
One thing I always want to know from people is, listen, I'm biggest baseball fan around. I've never been to Wrigley Field. Pretty bad, right?
How is this possible?
Very bad. Listen, I mean, if I'm going to do it, I want to go when the Yankees are there. And that happens like once every 6 years.
Oh, just
or
go anyway. Like, it's a whole culture. Like, Wrigleyville is so, I mean, they just built it up. And like, Chicago fans are hardcore, man. Like, I was singing opera in Virginia when they won. And I got a call from my brother and he's like, there's riots right now. People are so excited. Like, I was the only one that was like, this is the best day. Like, I mean, we're pretty hardcore because even if they lose constantly, we will be there supporting every year, hoping like, it will happen. And then it did. But Wrigley, oh my God. I mean, Wrigley Field is really beautiful. I mean, and there's just so much history, you know, and it's like the Phantom of the Opera of baseball fields. It's like so tradition and gorgeous and like, do you know what I mean? You got to go.
How old is it?
I don't know.
1914.
There we go.
There's only one older. It's Fenway Park.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I screwed that up on an episode recently, actually.
This well, that's
Kennedy Coggle's like, oh, what's the oldest Major League Stadium? I'm just like, oh, Wrigley Field. It's like, afterward, I'm like, oh, damn. No, it's not. It's Fenway Park. But yeah, Wrigley's been around forever.
It's beautiful.
Did you and your fam go to a lot of games growing
up? Actually, yeah. So like, what's funny is like, I've been to like a bunch of sports games, but only one musical. And yet here I am on Broadway. There's hope for everyone. So,
I have a question about like the sports aspect, because sports, you have to condition your body. You have to get used to something. And so like the whole famous thing, one of the famous things about Phantom is the high notes that Christine sings.
Yes.
And it's a high E6, right? Yeah. Okay. So that's super, super high. And is that second nature easy now to do that? Or is that conditioning?
In fairness, I am from the opera world and my voice type, how they categorize us, I'm considered a coloratura. This means that just anatomically, my inside here, like I'm like a piccolo. But there are many shades of coloraturas. I'm also what you call a dramatic coloratura, meaning that I have a more velvety sound, a bigger sound that develops like a whine as you get older. So there's like a mosquito coloratura that's like that, which by the way, that is higher than an E6, I guarantee you. So I can literally wake up and be like, and I'm like, oh my God, if it's not there, you're like, my life is over, but it's fine. But like, so for me, my voice naturally actually resonates very loudly up there.
Really?
Yes. However, you do it every day. One, two, Andrew Lloyd Webber's music is obviously gorgeous. And to do it any type of justice, you must train, because it's very challenging to sing, because it's quite, there's a lot of low and there's a lot of high. It doesn't really rest in one place. Mm-hmm. And so that is what's so challenging. Me piping out an E6, okay, fine. But it's what did I just do before that and what comes after that? That's what's so hard. In the opera world, if I'm singing E6s, which by the way, for anyone that doesn't know what an E6 is, so that's like
an error by the shortstop in the baseball world, by the way, they call it an E6.
Oh, but okay. Go on. Oh, well, there you go. See, I learned something. Thank you for that. I'll pack that away for later. But the thing, so it's basically when you look at a piano, if you were to look like C, 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 and that's how like you're going to know how high it is. So E6 is pretty high. I mean, an F is what Queen of the Night sings, so it's a little bit higher. It's a half step higher. But if I were to sing usually up in that register, I would stay up there. So your voice is conditioning to stay up there. Andrew's music is like, blah, 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 blah. It's all over. So it involves a lot of training. I don't talk during the day. Like, I am mute, which is difficult, I'm sure, for everyone around in this room too. Understand how that would be possible. It's probably why I'm so excited to talk right now. But
you haven't bottled up all day.
No, literally, I'm just like, look at my plants. Like, you know, you want to talk. So it is extremely challenging. And thank goodness I have a classical background, because I don't know how I would have been able to go straight from Love Never Dies to Phantom of the Opera on World Tour to this. And even then, it's hard. It is hard. and it's beautiful. And like Andrew is, I personally think one of his greatest strengths is his ability to tell a story. So me as a musician, I find it my responsibility to be as vocally as healthy as possible so that I can put all the colors needed in order to tell that story, because he really knows. There's a reason that Phantom is so epic and the longest running Broadway show. It touches everyone. And to be able to do that every night, like you gotta take care of yourself. Gotta train like an athlete, because that's what we are.
Was there ever anything that you picked up from the ballpark that you've applied to your performing career, whether it be, you know, the discipline aspect or, you know, physical aspect, anything really?
For sure. Both of those then. I mean, physically, every person that's performing is an athlete. I mean, again, every day, like what we do to our bodies, you know, I mean, the dancers, even if you're not a dancer, I mean, my costumes weigh 35 pounds back heavy. I mean, you have to.
That's the wedding dress?
That's the wedding dress. Oh, you listened. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the physicality that you're doing, I'm climbing ladders, running up and down stairs, you know, while singing in itself is a sport. Indeed, it's extremely disciplined. I mean, if I was able to go out and party and smoke a billion cigarettes, great. Guess what? I can't. I would be done for like a month. So it's extremely disciplined in order to do what we do. I live like a monk and a nun all in one. You know, like what I eat, just like someone that's training, I mean, for tennis or baseball, I mean, like I need a certain amount of protein because I have a big burst of energy that's coming every night. Sometimes twice on Saturdays, you know?
Yeah, like, sure.
So yeah, it's very much sports and theater are actually extremely related. Like the discipline and the sacrifice, it's massive. And the touring aspect of it too. I mean, everything about it is so congruent to each other.
Now, you mentioned the touring actually. One thing I did want to touch on, your situation's pretty unique because you're kind of, you know, going from a sequel to a prequel, having done Love Never Dies first. Did you have to do anything different to get into this version of Christine for Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, actually I did. So I believe I'm the only person ever to have done the older version first of Christine and then Benjamin Button backwards. And so I had a big talk with Hal actually about it. And he's like, all right, kiddo, you got to remember she didn't know everything that she knew when she was older. I mean, and we also had a big discussion about like, you know, obviously like the future can't influence the past. However, there is a however, when you know where she ends up, there must be those seeds that were there, always there. They just eventually blossomed. And I mean, Love Never Dies was not written when Phantom was originally, but you can't deny that it's not there now. So not everyone becomes a famous opera diva. Not everyone becomes a mother. So like living her truth in her future for a year and a half, and also having a backstory of 10 years and then going backwards in time to where it all began, actually as an actor is a really amazing opportunity because it's a full 360. And actually for me personally, what I find most challenging is the beginning of Phantom when she has all this trust and some naivete and everything because like she doesn't have the strength yet. She's developing it even throughout the show of Phantom of the Opera itself. So for me, what I find most difficult is indeed finding, like letting myself be controlled by men. Like she willingly gives her power up, you know? Like I don't think she's like transfixed like a zombie. Like, oh no, I personally think. And like Seth, who's our director, is incredible about this, like really empowering Christine. It is a period piece, you can't deny that. But indeed, like, in 2020, I can't be fully Megan Paterno as I am now on stage. It wouldn't work. But this Christine now, I do believe, is very strong as she can be. But at the beginning, she can't have that strength at first. Otherwise, there's nowhere to go. And that I find pretty like crushing every night. Like it's really, you know, because I mean, even myself personally, I've given my power over to a man in 2020. And like, you know, or like, you know, like when you go on your first date for Tinder or Bumble and you're like, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. And then like, you're like, this sucks. Like, what happened here? Like, I mean, you know, like, I feel like we all have some kind of experience in that realm on a less melodramatic scale. So like, I've really not, I've gone off topic, but
yeah, no, cool, you're good.
Reel me in.
We do that a lot in this show. I mean, that's pretty common.
But yeah, anyway, no, it's really amazing to have had the amazing opportunity to do both. And yeah, yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe one day I'll go back. I don't know. Like, you never know. Like, and now that I've lived her younger version, it's really exciting because I feel like I fully understand her psyche now. Like, I really get her. I really understand her. And I really love her, actually. I have a lot of compassion for her. So.
Now, with that love and compassion. Now, Alan, do you know how Love Never Dies ends?
No, I don't. I've never seen it.
All right. I hate to spoil it for the folks at home, but it's not actively touring as we speak, right?
It's about to again.
Well, I'm going to spoil it anyway. Then. You have a lot of love and compassion for Christine. Christine dies at the end of Love Never Dies.
Yes.
So love does die.
Yeah, love does die. Oh, okay.
Well, the love continues, but she does not.
Now, we get, you know, given that love and compassion that you have for that character, I mean, what are your thoughts on the way that they chose to end it? Because I know that a lot of fans with like the PH ones, like what do they call them? Fanatics with the PH? Is there like slang?
I just know fans, PH fans.
PH fans? Okay. Yes. They kind of had mixed feelings about that. So, you know, having, you know, this deep understanding of the character like you do right now, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. That's a difficult question, to be honest. I think it's tragically beautiful how it ends, honestly. And again, coming from the opera world, it's very operatic.
Pretty standard for what you do.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've died in most of the things I've played in. I'm either like a fairy and funny or I die. It's kind of like one of the two. So it's great that I don't die every day here. But I think, it's tragically beautiful. I mean, they do have a son together. So the love lives on in that way. But I think there's something to be said too that what I find so interesting in that she does pick the Phantom. And which to me, she's always done. So to me, again, this is my personal feel. At the end of Phantom, she does pick the Phantom, but they cannot be together. That's why she goes back. Like, again, that's for me. I'm also team Phantom. Say what you will. I guess I like the bad boy. I am not team Raoul. Sorry, John, you are so handsome, but apparently misfigured face is my deal. So, but she does pick the Phantom. Well, she picks herself, but she can't. But so then at Love Never Dies, it does happen that way, and they just can't be together. They just can't. For good this time. So. As alarms go out, fire trucks go fast.
There's not much I can contribute to that. I've never seen it. I Love Never Dies. It sounds like a Bond movie.
Yeah. it's true.
It's pretty epic, actually. The music is gorgeous. Oh my God, so beautiful.
Yeah,
so
I've heard some of the soundtrack, and yeah, if it's about to start touring again, I wonder if we'll get a chance. That'd be an interesting one, but. Before we get back to Broadway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, it's time for the seventh inning stretch.
Oh.
Stay tuned. Now, you sounded surprised, you know, before the break about this whole little seventh inning stretch thing. Are you aware of what, you know, what we do at Break of Bad as far as the seventh inning stretch?
No, I don't.
Now, Alan, you know, as a, you know, I guess I'm the one who originated this segment, but, you know, what are your impressions of this part of the show?
I think it is what brings your fan base together.
Oh.
Thank you. I hope so.
Okay.
Your Broadway lovers and your baseball lovers come together in that awkward dance like West Side Story.
Yes, when we throw a game show into the middle of an interview.
All right. Exactly. Yeah. All right. I like it. Can I have water for this seventh inning stretch?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Let's get her some fluids. This is a big part of the game,
all right.
Actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Know? The game is tied right now.
I'm getting ready.
Megan wants to go into the cage, get some extra swings before she has to head off.
Do I need my rally cap on or like what are we talking here?
I mean, you don't hate the Yankees. I do have a Yankee hat prop here for the folks at home who didn't know that. We have a 2014 All-Star Game hat that Derek Jeter, it looks like the one Jeter wore. There we go. So Alan mentioned earlier that this is a segment that, you know, brings our, you know, fan bases together. We have a lot of baseball fans, a lot of Broadway fans, and then fans of both, of course. This is also a chance to bring you into what we call the winner's circle.
I like the circle.
You like the circle?
I mean, by the name alone, I'm a fan.
The circle of treasure.
Yes.
So the winner's circle, you know what's funny? We don't do this segment on every show. We do it when we can, obviously. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's the chance, you know, for you to answer some trivia questions about both baseball and Broadway.
God, help me both.
And if you get enough of them right, you win a prize and join the circle. We've had a couple of winners in the past. We had Kate Rockwell won, Robin won, Amanda Jane Cooper won. Anyone else win? We didn't do it with Michael Potts. We didn't do it with that. I think, okay, so it's a pretty small circle. So this is like your chance to like, you know, maybe it's like a Mount Rushmore at this point. There might only be like three people up there, right? Okay. So this is your chance. All right. So we're going to ask you.
Can I phone a friend?
You want to be a lifeline, Mike?
You want to be a lifeline?
You're gonna phone Brittany, who's on her computer.
Yeah, Brittany loves to be the lifeline in this game.
All right, I'm ready. Let's see. I'll do it with a smile.
All right. You know what? I'll take the first one, Alan.
All right.
You're obviously very well versed in the works of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Which of the following shows is not a part of his Broadway catalog? School of Rock, Aida, Starlight Express, and The Woman in White.
I don't think Starlight Express ever came to Broadway.
I believe it did.
It did?
Oh, no. Wait, let's get a fact check.
In fairness, I would never be in that. I cannot roller skate.
It was on Broadway,
right?
It was
on Broadway?
You're 0 for 1. Your batting average is 0 right now.
What's the answer?
The answer is Aida. That was Tim Rice and Elton John.
Oh.
But I know Andrew Lloyd Webber worked a lot with Tim Rice.
Exactly.
So I can see why that would have been misleading.
All right. So apparently I've got all the baseball questions. Oh. What do you call baseball's grand event that celebrates its most elite players every July?
The World Series? I have no idea.
July. Wait a second. You remember when the Cubs won the World Series?
They won definitely when it was cold. I don't know. Oh. Wait. All-Stars?
Yeah.
We'll take it. That is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh.
The answer is the All-Star game. And just a note, you know, the face of the baseball and Broadway community and former Cub and current New York Yankee, Aroldis Chapman, has made 6 of them. So,
wow.
Yeah. Just a fun fact about that event.
Okay.
So
glad I got the baseball one right.
She's 1 for 2. She's batting 500.
Man.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Now,
well, that's called statistics.
There have been a number of different versions of Phantom, both on stage and screen. Who is not in the Christine lineage? Jane Seymour, Terry Polo, and Renee Fleming. Which of those three is not in the Christine lineage?
Renee Fleming.
That is correct.
I know. I used to work for her.
Oh. Wow. You worked for her?
Like, yeah, when I was in grad school.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was her assistant. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a cool job.
Yeah.
All right.
One of her assistants.
Chris Bryant won the 2016 National League MVP award.
Alan's a big fan of Chris Bryant's.
Oh,
right?
Me too.
Prior to this, the last Chicago Cub to win the award exactly 18 years prior was?
Nope.
So wait a second. Come on. Cubs fan. Let's do some math. Your math and science family, this will apply here. 18 years before 2016 was 1998. What's going on in 1998 in the Chicago baseball world?
I don't know.
Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa. Yeah, okay. I feel like the circle of trust may not be for me.
Mike, would you have been a good lifeline? Would you have known that? No?
No.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Well,
here's a good one. I think you could get
okay.
this one.
Okay.
You mentioned that you played Marion the Librarian in high school.
Yes.
Who played the character in the film adaptation?
Oh, wait. Shirley Jones.
That is correct. Ding, yay! Ding, ding. All right.
Okay.
All right. Now, still here's...
What's she's 2 for 5?
She is.
She got
no.
She's
3 for 5.
3 for 5. 3 for 5. I got one baseball one.
I don't have a writing utensil.
You know, we got we got the All-Star game right. We got Renee Fleming right. We got
Shirley Jones
right. All right, now here's your chance to bring it home. And again, I think that as Alan said, this is the part of the show that brings the segment together. And with that being said, I'm going to let Alan take this last question.
Okay. Here.
Oh, all right. Now, your clue on this one. We may have alluded to the answer earlier. You're a Cubs fan. In the middle of the 2016 season, the Chicago Cubs acquired a certain all-star closer from the New York Yankees to carry them to their first world championship in 108 years.
Okay, I knew the 108 years thing and the world championship thing.
Al might have just literally...
Chris Bryant?
Men, no.
He didn't even finish the question.
What's his name?
I was like, I heard that one. Will Chapman?
What was that?
Chapman?
Yes!
Oh, my God!
Ding, ding, ding. Yay. She wins. Wow, we didn't even need the lifeline. That's amazing.
Well, I was looking at him for positive support. There was a lot of positive support coming from the couch.
Did Mike mouth that one and we didn't even know? She got, wow, I'm very impressed.
Thank you. See, I listen sometimes.
She can be taught.
She can be taught.
Well,
the rain in Spain.
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. I feel very good right now.
I would like to welcome you to the winner's circle. We usually give this out to our guests, even if they don't win. That's one thing that one of the Instagram followers pointed out to me. Like, why don't you penalize the guests that don't get?
You like rip off part of it.
Whatever, but mine sparkles more because it is a winner's
this
shirt,
is a,
right?
I know. I should right. like sign the back of the, like,
that's
I should put
right.
winner yeah. on the back
winner.
Or something like that.
Winner.
This is your Chapman on Broadway.
Yeah.
Break a Bat t-shirt.
Well, thank you.
We're running low on the count, so I hope a small
this
will
is
work
perfect.
For you. Yeah.
Yes.
And wear it proudly.
I will wear this tomorrow during our tout d'oché.
Oh, we got some theater slang here.
Bing, bing.
I like it.
That means 2 shows in a day.
I thought it might have
been. I know. Just in case you were wondering. Well, thank you. I like the back here. That's a nice feature. It's a broken bat with the theater.
Yeah,
like they
got the theater mask.
Theater mask. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the winner's circle.
Ta-da.
What do you remember about your Broadway debut?
I don't. People ask me that, but I just remember... Well, I remember for my bow, midst jumping, I'm like, am I jumping right now? And then I was like, I'm totally jumping up and down right now. And then I was like, oh my God, Megan, you only make one Broadway debut and you have decided to hop. And I was like, so that just happened. No, you know, it's funny because even though I did the New York version, that's what's on the world tour right now. I mean, we just opened the new world tour. It's not exactly like the Broadway version in the sense of, like, I mean, even the stage is bigger. I mean, the smoke, I mean, everything. So I just remember being like, I have to run down the stairs and then I have to go left. And then I have to like, it was just like moment to moment to moment. And it was like the adrenaline was through the roof because you were just thinking about, and it was my first time doing it full on with my Broadway debut here. So that's the thing too. Like, you're literally just, it is very much like a sports event. Like, cause I used to play sports. So like, it's like you're in the zone. So like, to be honest, I couldn't even tell you because I was so in the zone. And then afterward it happened, I remember I had a friend, he got me this beautiful gold gown and I was going to wear this gorgeous gold gown to my own party for my Broadway debut. And I was so tired that I was like, I can't wear this. And so I just wore this like sweater dress because I was like, I'm so tired right now. Like, but it was magic. And yeah, I don't remember much. The hopping, though. I remember mid-hop. That's about it. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. You're in the midst of an exciting rookie year, as I mentioned in the intro. Do they do like any sort of like rookie hazing when you get to Broadway like they did in baseball until they kind of outlawed that?
No. I mean, to be honest, I got to tell you, like, this is my first time not only making my Broadway debut, but replacing basically. So like I've always started a show. So even on the world tour, we rehearsed it together and opened. I've never come into a show while it's been running, let alone one running for 32 years. And so I was a little like, how's that going to go? And to be honest, everyone's really great, like super supportive. They all know what it's like to come into the show. And it's been nothing but, I mean, we're all team players. I mean, it really is a team sport, you know? I mean, it doesn't matter what you are. Everyone has a piece of the puzzle and it has to happen or it doesn't run. So everyone's just been really great. So no hazing, luckily. So I'm good to go. So yeah. And my alternate, Erin LaCroix, I mean, this is an interesting thing about Christine, because it's such a gigantic sing. The principal has an alternate who goes on twice a week so that the principal can rest, because you need it. Like, it's six times a week. It's a lot. Like, vocally, Christine is on stage for 2+ hours. She doesn't stop. And so that relationship, you know, can be a little hairy or can be wonderful. And my alternate here, Erin LaCroix, is an angel. I mean, she's not only so pro and reliable, but she's also just a lovely human. And like, you know, it's wonderful to have, it's really like hashtag Team Christine. It's truly a team. And you need, you know, like I rely on her, like, and she's brilliant. And I just love that. So, yeah.
Fuck you, sirens.
So. Not the first time. And you know, you talk about it being a team effort. And since you have such a tremendous role both on the stage, is that a greater responsibility off the stage as well to, you know, kind of, you know, to rally up the team, I guess, you know, given the position that you're in?
I mean, yes and no. It's very different when you're on the road. On the road, for sure. Absolutely. You're together all the time. And here is the thing. The responsibilities of when you're a principal, there's extra responsibility, you know? I mean, like press events and, you know, being the face of a show in a very particular kind of way. It's much more than just on stage. But indeed, I mean, when you are a leading lady or a leading man, and this is something Hal really ingrained in me, he's like, whoever is in that star dressing room, they really set the tone for everyone else. And it is so true. And I've always, always thought of that, you know? I mean, if you have someone that is this poisonous egomaniac, you know what? The rest of the cast follows suit. If you have an incredible person in that, in those dressing rooms, I mean, Ben, my leading man, Ben Crawford, is a perfect example of an incredible leading man. You know, he's chill. He does his job. He's amazing. I mean, he's fun. He's nice. He's responsible. He's pro. That's exactly the kind of leading man you want. And like, as a leading lady, I aspire to be as such as well. Like, you know, respectful of your peers, respectful of everyone, you know, I mean, be a diva on stage and not off, you know? I mean, truly, like, everyone, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without all the crew, you know? I mean, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the orchestra, without the audience. So, like, check your ego at the door, because really, that's not why you're doing this. And if it is, you'll break. But you know what I mean? So, truly, that's another responsibility when you are a principal and you're a leading lady or a leading man. I think it's your responsibility to be a leader and a good one. So, yeah.
Heck yeah. Thank you for being honest, you know, with that answer.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that many people who will acknowledge that. That does very much exist in baseball and Broadway. And we've seen it bring teams down. Like you said,
totally.
You know, it's totally, you know, as far as that egocentric thing, that'll bring things down. And you feed off the energy of the great leaders, like a Derek Jeter, for example,
exactly.
With the Yankees.
So. It really makes a difference, you know? I mean, like, well, Chicago, like, yeah, pick, okay, Sammy Sosa, I know who that is.
No, that's
like,
not, he's not a great example. Michael Jordan.
I was just going to say Michael Jordan, perfect example. I mean, like, truly, like, you know, someone that inspires people, that, you know, like, when you're around them, you're like, yes, you know, like, that's the kind of person. And, like, everyone's human. You're not going to have a perfect day every day. But, like, you know, yeah, bring it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then. All this Broadway experience now, you think you're here to stay, or is the opera world going to steal you back one day?
Oh, you know, look, I mean, the cool thing about the day and age that we live in is that I can cross over into multiple medias. I mean, TV, opera. Now, like, it's not like you're in a hole, like a tiny little cube. Like, you know, I mean, you, if you can do it, you will be able to. So let's see. I mean, I love opera. It speaks to a completely different side of my soul. I love Broadway. So I don't know. Like, I'm excited to see exactly where it goes. I'm not sure. This wasn't on my radar 3 years ago. So if you would have told me, like, by the way, I'd be like, okay. So you never know. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We're excited too.
Yeah.
So you know what? We do have time for one last game, Alan. And this is another fun one. Megan, this is the ninth inning now. There's two outs, the bottom of the ninth.
Okay.
Chapman's on the mound throwing 105 miles an hour. You got to think quick.
All right. Our buddy Chapman. Yes.
Yes. We ask you a question, you say the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay.
Alan, why don't you lead off this one? No, she's getting, no, you can't help her on this one, Mike. This is all Megan alone in the batter's box right now.
First thing that comes to my head. All right, I'm ready.
Favorite New York City meal?
Pizza.
Oh, wait a second, though. This is important.
Oh, but Chicago pizza is better.
Okay.
Sorry. Not sorry.
I haven't had real
Chicago.
How dare you? How
I disagree.
Dare you?
I disagree.
No, deep dish.
No.
Let's do a vote. Mm-hmm. Mike and Britt, what do you guys vote?
There are not enough Chicagoans. Nope, you guys don't even know.
Oh,
nope.
New York's got, nope. You're 4-1 right now.
I don't
now.
Care. I will stand proud and tall.
Best Chicago sports memory?
Probably one of the times at Wrigley Field, honestly. It's so great. Like, you know, like you're sitting there and like, oh, actually one of them, it just happened. I randomly was home from tour. I was home for 1 week in between Kuala Lumpur and Tel Aviv this year. And I wasn't supposed to be. And I flew to Chicago and we all went as a family to see the Cubs. They won. And like, it was just an awesome, like totally different experience that I've had for like years. So that's definitely on the books. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite Chicago Cub, past or present, besides Chapman?
Sammy Sosa.
All right. It's been like a cycle of five different Cubs names that have come up tonight at
That's
different
right,
points.
That's right,
baby. Most embarrassing onstage moment.
Oh, God, there's so many. Oh my God, there's so many. Well, look, occasionally when the memory slips and you speak tongues, that's always a good one. You're like, there was, it's rare. Oh God, knock on wood. I shouldn't even say it before I go to the show tonight. But once, I remember, there's a part where I'm like, it's really emotional. And I'm like, Raul, I've been there. Da, 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 da. And literally, I literally went da, da, dee, 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 da, da, da. But I did it with such conviction that like, I fell back into the words again, but like for like two bars, I was just going da da. I was like scatting Phantom of the Opera. I remember the conductor was like, were those the word? And I was like, no, that was da da dee dee da 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 da. And then I continued on. And I remember John just looking at me like with wide eyes, like, what the hell? But I said that da da dee da da dee da with such subtext. Let me tell you, like, boom, baby. No, that's not the most embarrassing. I'm sure there's way more, but I have a nice heap.
Oh, my turn. Yeah. Oh, who would play you in a movie about your life?
Oh, oh my God. I literally don't know. Someone kind of quirky, fun, cute.
Anna Kendrick.
No.
Kristen Bell.
Oh, I love Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. Kristen Bell.
I love Kristen Bell. Actually, what's her name in La La Land?
Emma Stone.
I like Emma Stone too.
I could see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would take that. She's smart.
Your desert island album.
Like music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. God, if anyone knows me, coming to my dressing room is a crapshoot. Like, it's all over. Honestly, probably like a mix of things. Because, like, I'm literally wearing, like, a Nirvana shirt. But, like, the first thing that came to mind was, like, Rachmaninoff. So, there you go. I don't know.
All right. So, two show day. You're stressed out. It's after midnight. You're going home. What are you grabbing to eat before you hit the couch?
Pizza. All New right. York pizza.
New York comes
pizza.
Back to a slice.
All it right. does yeah. come back to a slice.
Your Broadway dream role?
I'm definitely living one of them for sure. And I'll get back to you when I, this is definitely on the list. I mean, like, she's epic. How can this not be one, you know?
Alan.
I wonder if you could do, like, Glinda needs opera training in Wicked, right? Am I way off base here?
You are not off base. You're not off base.
Like, would you do Glinda?
Glinda would be really fun. We actually just saw a bunch of us from Phantom just went to see Wicked, actually. And it was amazing. I loved the story. I absolutely love. I mean, it was great. So I don't know. Who knows?
There you go.
I mean,
putting that out there.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
All right. So your favorite Andrew Lloyd Webber musical not affiliated with Phantom?
Ooh. Ooh. I really like Jesus Christ Superstar for sure. It's also something I could never sing. there's so many, you know, okay, off topic real quick. But like, so I sang at his birthday celebration in London a couple years ago. And one thing that blew me away was we were all, like so many people from all his different shows were singing. And I was like, he literally, you cannot fit him in a box. And that's what's the best thing about his music is that it's so different. Everything is like Joseph or Cats or Starlight Express or like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I really, I do love Jesus Christ Superstar. Like, that's pretty. Actually, I love School of Rock too. That's awesome. See what I mean? We could just keep going. I don't know. I don't know.
Fair. Okay.
All right. We're going to wrap with this one. We wrap every show with this one. Best piece of advice anyone ever gave you, and what was it?
Best piece of advice. My teacher in undergrad, he once told me, he was from Texas, and he's like, gal, you know, make sure that you're always uncomfortable because that's when you're going to grow the most. And he is right. As soon as you start getting comfy. But then there was another one that I don't remember who told me this, but dreams are just plans that haven't come into reality yet. I like that one too.
I like that.
I like that too.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
What do you feel about deja vu? Do you get deja vu?
All the time. I'm a Scorpio, so I really believe in like, oh my gosh, like this has happened before. Like I totally like, I'm a gut person. So like, yeah, I believe all of that stuff.
Oh, all right. I was going to think like when I have deja vu, it's very rare, but it's something that I felt I dreamed about years ago that's actually now happening.
Yeah. Like it feels right, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly how I'm feeling now. Like it feels right.
In this moment, doing this podcast.
Totally yes. Feels right. Talking yes. About Chapman.
And Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, that's and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah. Exactly. The greats.
Pretty good theme that we have going for sure. Anyway, Megan, you've been great. Where can everyone find you on social media?
Just my name, at Megan Paterno, and Instagram.
That's important, though. Megan with a G-H.
Yes, so, G-H. Because Irish and Italian.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes. What a mix. Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, listen, you've been great. I am excited to see what's in your future. And, you know, if Thanks. You haven't gotten to see Megan and Phantom yet, I definitely suggest getting over to the Majestic Theater because it's a great one.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Mm-hmm. You can do our outro music if you want while I sign us off. From the Broadway Podcast Network, this is Al Malafronte signing off with Alan Seals.
Yo!
Again with the noises. This is the first time he's back. The same thing happened last time we recorded together. Anyway, and with Megan Paterno.
Yes, I didn't expect you to come back.
And Al Malafronte. We are signing off on Break a Bat. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.